You know, I realized that when I got invited to speak that it was going to be around Christmas time and that I couldn't really pick just any special message, right? Like, we can speak any message, but the message should be centralized in what we focus on this time of year. Amen, Brother Ray. Jesus, right? We want to be able to focus on Jesus and when he came into the earth and did all those wonderful things. So we're going to be able to pick a special side of the Christmas story and just kind of see what it means, what it's saying. Is there a message for us? Kind of besides some of the normal things that we all talk about. Have any of you ever missed a Christmas? I remember when I was a kid, I missed actually a couple of Christmases because the thing that would happen is when you're a kid, you really like those presents. You like getting together. I always had cousins and family come over, and it was around my birthday time. And what happens was I used to get so excited for Christmas, so amped up for Christmas that on Christmas Day, I was a mess. I was sick on Christmas Day. I remember as a kid, everybody's enjoying and loving Christmas, and I was enjoying it up until that day, but that day came on Christmas Eve, and I was on the couch, and I was sick. Missed a couple of Christmases that way. And today we're going to talk about a few people that are in the Bible that also missed out on Christmas. I had the honor to be able to do the children's message, the children's sermon last week, and we talked about three kings, actually four kings, that missed out on Christmas. But there are other people that miss out on Christmas. There's other people that miss out on Christmas today because we don't get that word out to them. We don't share with them. They don't feel loved. They don't feel comforted. So today we're going to be able to see Christmas and what it means and a special message that is in the Christmas story for us. How many of you guys like to see God in action? Like really when he's working and when he's with you in your life, right? It's great to see it in our lives. A lot of times we see it in other people's lives. We just see God working and doing his magic, and it's wonderful. He's doing his thing, and we just look back and see it. It can be very frustrating, though, because it's like, okay, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Oh, there you are. All right, I was getting worried there for a second. Right, but I love to see God in action, not only in my life or my family's life, but other people's lives. I've been able to have the honor of being able to see God work in several of your lives, and it's just fantastic. And we want to see God in action today as well. In order to see God in action, we need to pay attention. We need to be connected with him. We need to have a certain thing about us. We can't just go through the motions of life and see God in action. So if we go back, right, I want to kind of look back at the story of Christmas, right? We all know about the prophecy. Jesus was going to come. The Messiah was going to come. And then God decides to pick somebody to be the earthly host of that baby. And she is impregnated, and she's got baby Jesus, and she is about to give birth. And we see that, you know, Joseph is there, and we see God in action right away. We see God in action in a way that he usually takes action in my life. I'm glad that sometimes I see this in other people's lives. So God says in the story of Christmas, he says, okay, Mary, you're pregnant. You're about to have this very important child. I know you don't understand completely what this is going to be all about. Joseph, you know even less, but I need you guys, instead of relaxing at home and having your baby where you are in Nazareth, I need you to get up and move, and I need you to get up and travel 90 miles and go to Bethlehem. Because I've already said that you were going to be born there, so Christ needs to be born there. So we see this image of this story unfolding where we have a pregnant lady. She's almost due. And now she has to get up and go and travel. So they're getting the donkey ready, right? Joseph's preparing everything. They have to take this mission. And obviously they're like, why do we have to do this? But God had already had a plan in place, right? That Christ was supposed to be born there. So he uses a king. He uses somebody that is and doesn't even really believe in him. But if we actually study a little bit about King Herod and all those taxes, we know that he did know God, right? But we see that he calls this census to be put in order. And so they start this travel. And as I was thinking about this week, I remember traveling with my wife that was almost ready to have a baby. And it was hard just to get her up into the truck. The poor thing, we didn't have too much money back then. And I had this lifted Chevy with big old tires and everything like that. So I had to get my pregnant wife up into this truck, and we had to drive around and go to doctor's appointments and do all those things. Sorry, Nina, it was bad. I should have bought another car by then. But we see the story, the Christmas story unfolding, where Mary is on that donkey and she is riding in, and she's inconvenienced a little bit, right? And we see that they're traveling on this path, and we understand that it's about 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and it's not a very easy road to travel. It's not like getting on I-5 and going south, and you're pretty much just straight, right? If you're going like to LA or something like that, it's rocky, it's hilly, there's bandits, there's robbers. It's not really a place where you want to be with your lovely young wife that's about to have a baby on a donkey. God protects them. They get there fine. They're traveling as this small family, still kind of uncertain on what is going on. We all know the story. They get to Bethlehem. There's no room in the manger. Our King, our Lord and Savior, is born in a manger. He is not born in a luxury suite. He is not born in a palace. He's not born around kings. He's not born around anybody important. He is just this King Almighty that is born in this humblest of ways. He is surrounded by shepherds, his family, some animals, nice, quiet, easy birth. And none of the leaders of the churches showed up. There was no fancy welcome to the earth and thank you so much and you're our savior. There was nobody from the government that was there. So after Christ is born and he's there, we just see him and imagine him relaxing in his mother's arms, right? And when you're a baby, that's your comfort zone, is in your mother's arms. The dad, Joseph, takes care. Sometimes he goes in there and, you know, holds baby Jesus as well. They both kind of look at Jesus and are kind of just wondering and waiting what is going to happen, because they know that they have something special. They know that that God has called them to do something special. And then so God, you know, works with them. He gets them to their spot. And then God calls them after 40 days to, now they need to get up and they need to move again. This time they need to travel to Jerusalem, because there was a custom that when the firstborn boy was to be born, they would have to take the boy to Jerusalem so that he was going to be presented to the church, right? This goes all the way back to the times of Egypt. And we see, and we can learn if we go to the Bible, we see that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, baby Jesus rides in on a donkey with his mom in his mom's arms, and nobody notices him. Nobody notices him. They pass by people, and of course, there are those ladies that when they see a baby, they have to stop. They have to see the baby. Oh, how cute. And I mean, that's what went on, because that's always what happens when you travel with a baby. Everybody loves babies. So people are seeing little baby Jesus, but nobody is really seeing Jesus. He's just kind of passed by. No, nobody realizes that the Messiah has entered Jerusalem, that he is there. He's just in the loving arms of his parents. They had to bring Jesus when they were in Jerusalem into the temple to dedicate him into the temple. They had to bring a sacrifice as well. And just because Mary and Joseph didn't have a lot of money, they weren't able to offer a lamb. They weren't able to offer the other sacrifices. They only brought with them two little turtle doves. But little did they know, and little did the church actually know, that they really had brought the lamb to be sacrificed. So this is all taking place. When I read the Bible, I don't like just to read words. I like to read the story and read what is going on. Imagine what is going on. So now we have, you know, young Mary. We have Joseph. They have the Messiah with them in their arms. And then there comes a point where they take this baby and they give it into the hands of the priest for this baby to be dedicated. And we all know who we're talking about here, right? Jesus. And he's to be dedicated. And he holds him and then gives him back. Goes through the motions, gives him back. And this is the point of this Christmas story that we're going to talk about. What event happened there at the church? Because it's an event, I think, that we need to look into ourselves as individuals and as a church. And if we look at the passage of what really happens in this account in Luke chapter 2, verses 23 through 24, we don't see much. There's not really much that goes on, but there's more to share about this. But let's look. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 24, and we'll see what's going on here. And then we'll also see what else is happening here. And so Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed," right, the 40 days, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons." So we see just in these verses, it's really simple, it's really plain, but there's a lot more to this story. So they bring Jesus to the temple, they bring Jesus to Jerusalem, they bring him into the church, they give him to the priest. He is dedicated there in the church as a son of God. They offer a sacrifice. And there is so much more to the story. If you've read the book Desire of Ages, it amplifies what is going on. We can pick apart what has gone on here simply, but the Desire of Ages says it really great. And this is the area that we really need to pay attention to. So Desire of Ages, page 53, it says this: "But the priest did not see through the veil. He did not read the mystery beyond. The presentation of infants was a common scene. Day after day, the priest received the redemption money as the babies were presented to the Lord. Day after day, he went through the routine of his work, giving little heed to the parents or children. Unless here he saw some indication of wealth or high rank of the parents. Joseph and Mary were poor. When they came with their child, the priest saw only a man and a woman dressed as Galileans, and in the humblest garments. There was nothing in their appearance to attract attention, and they presented only the offering made by the poorer classes." So I don't know if you caught that here, but Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, was given into the hands of the priest in the church, and he did not recognize him. He had no clue. He's just going through the motions. Baby, Lord, blessing, back to the parents. Next, offering and money goes over there. He didn't see anything. There was nothing special. Unfortunately, it does say something in the Desire of Ages that I didn't like. It says that unless he saw some indication of wealth, he would have made a bigger scene. So if you're just a common person, you come and go. There's babies. There's a line. Let's get through this. The priest was just going through the motions. But if he saw something that would benefit him, saw somebody with money, somebody who he could talk to, there was almost a different type of a service that he could offer up because there was something in it for him. But since Joseph and Mary didn't have anything special, he just went through the motions. And the priest, I understand the people that didn't notice Jesus in the streets. We understand the people that didn't make a big deal, but the priest, the one in the main temple there in Jerusalem, after reading God's word day after day, after all the leader he had put in as a leader of God's people, when he had the Messiah in his hands, he didn't even realize it. He was not able to see what he needed to see when he needed to see it. He didn't see. This should have been an amazing day for him. He didn't see God's mission. He didn't see God's plan. He didn't see God's son. And he treated them just as everybody else was treated. And even a little bit worse, because they didn't even have any money. If they had money, it would have been a little bit better. And if anybody was to notice, it should have been him. It should have been him. He was going through the motions. Church, open and honest question for all of us to ponder. Are we going through the motions? Does God sometimes get dropped into this church and into our arms and sometimes we don't even know? Yes, it happens. Because we're going through the motions. I go through the motions, and we need to stop going through the motions. How many times did Jesus pass people in the street? Didn't get noticed. How many times do we pass by God and pass by Jesus in the streets and we don't notice? How many times do we physically see God, but we can't discern God at that time because we're just going through the motions? How many times do we have God even in our arms and we don't even notice? Just something for us to think about. How many golden opportunities have we missed out on, like that priest? Do you think he would have done it different if he knew that he had the Messiah in his arms? Didn't even notice. The Desire of Ages in that chapter continues. It says this: the priest went through the ceremony of his official work. He took the child in his arms and held it up before the altar. After handing it back to his mother, he inscribed the name Jesus on the roll of the firstborn. Little did he think the babe lay in his arms that it was the Majesty of Heaven, the King of Glory. The priest did not think that this baby was one whom Moses had written. He receives God, he presents God to God, and then he just gives it right back. and continues on. How many times do we get God's in our arms, we feel it, we're with him, we're studying, we're going through it, and then all of a sudden we just make the decision to, okay, well, I'm going to give you back God now because I have to move on with my life. We get him, we hold him, we have him, and we just give him back. Another quote from that same chapter of Desire of Ages. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. In the temple, the Son of God was dedicated to the work he had come to do. The priest looked upon him as he would upon any other child, but though he neither saw nor felt anything unusual, God's act in giving his Son to the world was acknowledged. For in order for the Son to be acknowledged, God didn't need that priest. He was there. That priest, it didn't matter who it was. Jesus was there, and he was to be dedicated to start his work at 40, 41 days old. He was there. This priest had nothing to do with it. And how is it possible to hold Jesus in your hands and feel nothing? When you do that, you have a complete disconnection from God at that time. If you have Jesus and he is in your life and he is right in front of you and you don't feel anything, there is a big disconnection there. And with the world, there is a big disconnection with God. How hard is it to share this message with people? It is so hard because there's such a disconnection. People see heinous crimes all the time and they laugh. And we don't even feel anything anymore when we see hundreds of people die. We see people getting stabbed in the subway and they're just flip, scroll up. There is such a disconnection with this world and God. And the thing is that sometimes we have a connection that is too strong with the world that it is hard to have our connection with God. And we need to watch out for that. When in this story, when I'm reading this and when I'm going over this, when in this story do we see somebody finally realize Jesus for who he is? It wasn't the priest, right? But there was eventually a recognition. Let's come with me if you want to in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. So Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35, we'll see, here it is. Here's where the recognition comes. It says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Who was upon him? The Holy Spirit. All right, and it says in verse 26, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in child Christ to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Verse 31, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken to him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for the sign which would be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So we see here the priest, the Mary gives him out of the arms, gives him to the priest. The priest takes him up, doesn't see anything, goes through the motions. And Mary and Joseph are going, you know, isn't our child something special, right? Doesn't he deserve a little bit more than what this priest is doing? And then all of a sudden, this man comes with the Holy Spirit, and he finally says, yes, look at this baby. I know who this is. And then he takes him after the priest just threw him back to his mom, and then he lifts him up, and he blesses him. What a wonderful story that is, finally. And then so now the parents are like, okay, all right. I thought God maybe wasn't with us anymore. I thought maybe that dream was. They're finally, okay, right. My child is being received now. Now I have more belief. Now, okay, this is it. This is what we were waiting for, right? So finally someone. But it took someone guided by the Holy Spirit to be able to see Jesus. To be able to see a baby and see something more than just the physical, to see the spiritual as well. He had no clue who Joseph and Mary were. He didn't know the baby. He just saw. And with the Holy Spirit, we are able to see things that others cannot see. That's why when I asked you in the beginning, do you like to see God in action? Because we can see it most of the time. But others can't. And we need to point it out to them. Like, look, God is working in your life here. But only when we're guided by the Holy Spirit are we able to do so. So after the baby is given back to Mary, Simeon takes the babies up. And he's not like the priest who was just going through the motions. This was somebody who was waiting on God. How many of you are waiting on God? Not only just to come back, but waiting for God in our lives. God, I need you. I'm waiting. I know I'm waiting on many situations right now. It can be frustrating, but I'm waiting. He's going to come, and then I'm going to see it, and then it's just going to be like, oh, God, you did it again. You were there, right? And so, you know, that, now we have this. So this man who has been waiting on God, finally, it says in the Desire of Ages that he was filled with a joy that he had never felt before. And I don't know about you, when my kids were born, I felt joy. When I got married, I felt joy. When I've done a lot of things and gotten awards and done things, I had felt joy. But there's no joy like it when the Holy Spirit works in you and you finally are waiting on God and then he shows himself to you and says, I'm here. Oh, it feels so good to see God. And then most of the time, what we should do is get down on our knees and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me for my doubts, but you were there the whole time. So that's what happened with this man. He was waiting for God. He was getting towards the end, right? He's like, am I going to, Lord, you promised. You said you were going to do something. I'm getting up there. I'm starting to feel a couple of heartbeats that aren't going on too well, and right, he was waiting. Imagine what the priest thought. He's seeing this wonderful thing happen. He's seeing all this commotion. He's like, wait, what did I miss? What is this man talking about? And he's taking another look at the baby and just like, I'm not seeing, there's nothing special. It's just a baby. I do this all the time. He looks just like all the other kids. Like, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal, and you don't even know about it. So which one of the dedications was the better dedication? Of the pastor, the priest that was just going through the motions? Or the man who was waiting on God, the man who had the Holy Spirit in him, and then said, yes, here it is. Here he is. Here he is. So we see these two men. One going through the motions, the other waiting on the blessing of God, waiting on God. We can't notice much when we're going through the motions. I'll go back to that. We can't see much. This time of year, especially, we get too caught up in going through the motions with the gifts, with the family get-togethers, with Christmas parties, with things for us. We get going through the motions on that. But this time of year should be a special time of year. This time of year, people's hearts are a little bit more open to hear a message. Are we sharing it? Are we too busy? This is the message that we need to share. We all know we should be doing this in mid-October, right? Around October. We all know that. But this is a time, brothers and sisters, when many people are reflecting on the year. They're reflecting. They're looking for God. They can't even see the sun, especially in Sacramento. You don't see the sun for 2 weeks. They're looking for another sun. They're looking for some light in their lives. Now is not the time for us to go through the motions. When we get stuck going through the motions, usually it's not us that snap ourselves out from going through the motions. It's usually God who comes into our lives and shakes us and wakes us up. So when things start happening to you in your life, try and recognize it. Is God trying to wake me up? Is God trying to steer me away from just going through the motions? Don't get angry when God wakes you up. Don't get angry with the Lord and question the Lord when he gets you out of going through the motions. If there is something in your life that gets you out of going through the motions, pay attention. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we don't know what's going on. If we have the Holy Spirit and we're in that relationship with God, we go, okay, God, thank you for putting me in a very uncomfortable situation, for getting me out of going through the motions. But we get angry with God sometimes when he shakes us, when he wakes us up. I know, I've got two teenagers. I know what it's like to have somebody be angry when you wake them up. It's time to get up. And we do the same thing, right? But don't get angry when the Lord lets things happen to you. Wake up and realize that we need him, that we need to get out of going through the motions. Our lives falling apart is not a bad thing. If God allows our lives to start falling apart, it's because he wants us to bring us back to him. It happens to me. Does it happen to you? God has to shake me all the time. Girl, what are you doing? That's why I always have bad things happen to me. Because I get sidetracked. I go through the motions. We fall into it. And I think, church, we as a church have fallen into the trap, and it's not just us, it's not just Sac Central, but as God's people, we go through the motions too much. God wants to enter our lives. God wants to have that relationship with us. God wants to do more with us. But we take the baby, we present it to God, we give it back, and we don't even notice. Church, it's time to stop going through the motions. It's time to start waking up. It's time to see Jesus, whether it's in the streets, whether it's in somebody else's life, whether it's here. We need to be able to focus more on him. Even though the priest did not see the Messiah, there was somebody in their church who did. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait just for our pastors to show the way. We have our pastors. We love our pastors. But Jesus can talk to us as well. As a church body, Sometimes the Lord is not going to come with an answer or with something just to the pastor to be able to speak to us. It's going to come to you. It's going to come to you. And we need to be involved in our church and grow our church. We need to stop going through the motions, and we need to start focusing on Him. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And God is not going to leave this church. He is going to be here, and He is going to continue to lead us. This time of year is not a time of year to just keep going through the motions. We need to wake up. We need to realize what time it is. We need to continue to share God. So thank you so much. It has been an honor to be able to share the Word of God with you today. May the Lord continue to guide us forward every day. I hope you all enjoy wonderful holiday weekends and week with your family, your loved ones, your ones at work. And let's take this time to share Jesus. Amen.
Please stand for our hymn of dedication, hymn number 125, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every prepare Him room,
and heaven and nature,
sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains,
repeat the sounding joy.
No more the sin and sorrow come, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow.
For as the curse is found,
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness,
and wonders of His
wonders of His love,
His
wonders, wonders of His love.
Joy to the world. We can give so much joy to the world if we just share Christ, right? Let's go ahead and pray to finish this service. Dear, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the gift of Christ. We thank you so much for coming into this world. Lord, help us to be able to share you. Help us to be able to wake up from just going through the motions and to share you and love you and be with you, Lord. Bless this church. Bless Sacramento Central. Bless your worldwide church as well, Lord. Help us to be able to share you with so many others. Thank you so much. Be with us, guide us, protect us, and love us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.